Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0, the only podcast that focuses on mental health while mixing in movies, music, books, sports, and pop culture. Here are your hosts, Rebecca and Joe Lombardo.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0. We are happy to have you with us.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you for joining us today. And how about this voice that I'm losing? Wow, what the heck?
And I was the one going online complaining about how I'm losing my voice every show.
Yeah, this just hit me out of nowhere, like literally just now. Sorry, everybody. I sound like a smoky seductress for some reason.
I think you're taking that a little bit too far.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. But anyway, thanks for joining us today on whatever the hell day it is in July 2018. And, you know, we're so happy that you decided to tune in and listen to our humble little show like you do.
Before we introduce our guest, I just wanted to remind you that you can tweet to us using hashtag KeepTalkingMH. I'll be on the lookout for any questions. And
you can also, can you call in?
I believe they can still call in with our fearless leader. Our producer is on the road. I believe you can still call in to him at 347-989-0126. And ask us a question if you like, or have questions for our guest, which we'll be introducing shortly.
Or just call and say, hello, how are you? We enjoy that. Scott just confirmed for us. You guys can call, but there is no chat room today. So sorry about that. So
what's going on with us lately? Everybody, well, a lot of people at least, seem to be talking about the premiere of Orange is the New Black.
Mm-hmm.
Which we did start last night. We got 3 episodes in. Yep. If you haven't, I'm not going to give out any details really, because I don't want to ruin it for anybody. If you haven't checked it out yet, the first episode, the beginning of it, is definitely weird.
Yeah.
You're kind of sitting there thinking, what's happening?
What the hell is going on?
What am I watching here?
Make sure before you start watching the episode, read the little blurb that's attached to the episode. You know how they all have a little description, and that was like the split second thing that prepared me for what we saw when the episode started. Beck was like, what the hell is this? and I knew it. I had to tell her really quick what it was, and I'm not going to say here, because again, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody. You get to watch the weirdness on your own. But after it gets through that initial weirdness and you understand what's going on,
it gets better.
Yeah, and it settles down and gets into what's going on with things, and it's good. I think they're playing a long game with this one, unraveling the aftermath of season 5. So,
I will say one thing is that not all of the inmates end up in the same place, and it's a little bit of a bummer because you have your favorites.
Yeah.
From the first 5 seasons, and it was hard enough with Poussey dying in season 5.
Spoiler alert.
Season 5, everybody's seen it.
Not everybody, you don't know.
In season 5, and it was hard. That was very difficult. I still can't actually watch that again. Like, we watched the whole series over again in anticipation of last night, and I still can't watch that part. There's a lot of stuff I have to forward over.
Yeah, there's stuff that can be triggery and stuff that can be just straight up hard to watch when you're emotionally invested in these characters and then something bad happens to them.
Well, and this will be my last point on this, but the difficult thing for me with Orange is the New Black is that I don't feel like it's normal for me to be watching these women on a prison show and being able to say to myself, oh, that happened to me in, you know, the last psychiatric hospital I was in. Yeah. You know, I actually, there's times when these women in this prison are treated better than I was in a psychiatric facility where I had, you know, committed no crimes and, you know, hadn't done anything yeah. horrible. I was there for treatment, and that was the last thing on their minds.
Yeah, that's
treating me.
That's a bit of a jarring thought. You know, I mean, we've had guests on many times that have had positive hospitalization experiences, and we're grateful that they shed light on those experiences just based on what you went through, mm-hmm. you know, 5 years ago.
It's good to hear that somebody is getting help somewhere.
Yeah.
Because Lord knows I didn't.
Yeah.
I just had to help myself pretty much. So.
Yeah.
But enough about that.
Yes, on to happier things.
Absolutely. So let's bring in our guest. She has been with us once before, and we're very excited to see what she's been up to since she was last here. She's a mental health advocate, an author, blogger, and also a survivor of DID, which she will explain, I'm sure, in detail.
And she's also an amazing artist.
Yeah.
We actually have some of her artwork.
We have a painting of hers in our living room, which we love. It looks amazing.
It's beautiful.
And she can also knit like nobody's business.
She knits like a demon.
Yeah. Some of the stuff she comes up with, it just blows my mind.
Yep.
So please welcome to our show the lovely Erica Riva.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, darling.
Thanks for having me back.
How are
and
you?
All the praise. Oh my God, you guys.
Well, we love you.
Doing okay.
You know that.
We adore you
guys
too.
Yep. I love all the pictures of your puppies that you post online.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you. They're a more recent addition for us, and we haven't had a dog in a really long time, because when I was living in Chicago, my parts would foster different animals and stuff like that, and I always seemed to come back to some random beast of some kind. So it's fun to have a dog that I know about now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fun, especially Midway. She is a character.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Some of the
stuff you've posted has just been absolutely hilarious.
That's her in the crawling video, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I love that. I watched
it. She creeps towards you, like, hey, can I have attention? No, not yet. Okay, I'll come closer. Hey. She's so goofy.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
my God, yeah, they're nuts.
So I guess if you don't have any questions for us, we should just go ahead and jump into our interview here.
Sure. Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Hooray.
All right. So we'll ask you the question that we begin all of our interviews with now. We've been doing this for a few months now, and it's we should warn anybody who's going to be on the show that this will be the first question they have to answer.
Yep.
And that is, where does your mental health journey begin?
Yeah, that's a bit of a tricky one, because truly for me, it began early in childhood. I just wasn't fully aware of it. As I got like a little bit older, I'm talking as early as like toddler age and younger.
Wow.
Because as you guys know, I'm sure all your listeners don't, but DID, dissociative identity disorder, that's a trauma-based disorder, and it's trauma from early childhood. So that would be when my mental health became impacted, and that's when DID manifests for survival of the individual. So as early as, some people's story, it's as early as like they're a baby, and that's when things begin. And for me, when I had, looking back, I know that the most impactful moment when I can identify, like where I remember and able to identify my mental health deterioration, is around age 5, because that was my first suicide attempt, was when I was around 5 years old.
Wow. Wow. That's wild. That it, You know, and I'm sorry that you went through, you know, such traumatic
childhood.
Yeah, experiences so young. You know, I mean, that's something nobody should have to go through.
That's for sure.
You know.
No, Eric, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Did your DID start off? I don't know how to say it exactly. Maybe with one or two alternate personalities and blossom into more, or did you right away have as many as you have now?
No. It doesn't just, it's, so with the ID, parts or alters, others, it depends on the individual and their system. People use different terminology. I say parts,
okay.
Because they're part of me or part of
right.
who I could have been in a sense. And it's just like, you know, just like you hit different developmental milestones. Your experiences impact who you are as a person as you grow and age, your relationships and all the different experiences of life. And for someone with DID, it's not that I myself had experienced all these different developmental milestones in the sense that, like, first grade, I remember one thing about first grade. My teacher's name was Mrs. Apple, which is just bizarre. But
yeah,
isn't that amusing? Like, I just find that amusing. But my parts were in school at different times, and not just one of them, because by the time I was school age, that's where I would say that my system began to really develop into who they are when I reached adulthood, because parts are different ages and that sort of thing. So it's not that right. when an initial trauma occurs that poof, the whole system's there. Because for me, some of it was slow. So like in infancy, and again, as far as I am aware, there weren't severe traumas when I was like a year, but it was loud and some neglect and that sort of thing. So that like nurture and interaction is such a massively important thing for a newborn, because that's how they learn to react to their world. And I apparently was a baby that cried a lot, and some of my relatives had a big struggle with that. So it was some of those connections weren't made, and so my brain didn't connect in that way to people. Because that's how a child and a person begins to develop, is those very early relationships. And mine were angry. Mine weren't there, or they were angry. And so from there, that's when more of the, what I would call the traumas began occurring, was when I was around a year and a little after. In that they were more extreme, more severe. And I do have, and I know that people struggle with this, like, how could someone remember something from that? And how I explain that to them, because I do remember certain things from when I'm a toddler, like 2 years old, even younger. And I base that on like the memory in my mind and how I know the age is. I base that on the way that I look in this memory, as well as the people that are around me in this memory and where the memory took place. Because some of them, they're vivid. Some of these memories are quite vivid. And I explain to people that the reason that so many people with DID can explain some of these things, because it's not that I don't have memories. It's that the memories that I do have were in such extreme stop and starts that, so you trying to remember, like, I'm 31 now, so trying to remember 31 years of my entire life, I can't do that. But I don't have to, because, and truly, it's not even like a necessity. It's, I don't know what happened for almost 2 decades of my life. So I'm literally remembering like 11 years 11 years of my life. That's not much to remember. I mean, most people remember 4 years of their high school. They'll remember the 3-4 years they were in college. They'll remember meeting their significant other. They'll remember their wedding. You know, you can easily remember a decade of your life. And unfortunately, with DID, that is one of those things that occurred. So some of these very early childhood memories, and then I skipped like 3 years, and then I remember just around 5 years old, just deciding to kill myself because it just seemed easier. It seemed like the most logical thing to do. It was just a decision. It wasn't this heavy emotional, like horrifying choice for me. It was just simply a mathematical equation in my mind.
Hmm. Like kind of like pragmatic,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know.
That's very, very, very sad that a 5-year-old would have to contend with those type of thoughts.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah. We want to hug you. We really do. You know, yeah, that's just, you know, and memory is really a strange thing too. You know, you like you were talking about with, you know, you can remember specific things, you know, stuff from high school, stuff from college. You remember your wedding. You remember meeting, you know, I remember the first time I met Beck.
Right.
Different things like that, you know, and if you try and go farther back in time, you know, it gets a little bit foggier, you know, and it sounds like almost like things are a little bit compartmentalized for you, you know, as far as being able to grab these different memories, you know, which is fascinating. It's got to be.
I agree, absolutely.
You know, it's got to be a little jarring at times. Yeah.
It really is.
It's resilient. But, you know, it's just amazing, you know, some of the things that you've gone through with it. What are some of the negative stereotypes that are associated with DID and, you know, that you've encountered?
Oh, man, that I've encountered personally. Would be the one that I've seemed to notice, especially since we were doing like the living with DID talks and that, where mm-hmm. we go and meet with clinicians and stuff to try and help them get a better understanding of what DID actually is compared to what, you know, movies and books say, is that
right.
It doesn't exist. Like I assure you, I am. Oh my God. I don't know how someone could make this up and convince somebody. Like you're
mm-hmm.
talking about,
yeah.
an example for that is that because I've discussed this in length with my doctor, because to me, if there's someone out there, because people do it, if there's somebody out there though, that is pretending to have DID, I look at that like they need more help than I do, because holy
yeah.
crap,
yeah.
like, what is going on with that person's life that they want to have this disorder? Because there are some people that romanticize it, and it is not cute. It is not fun. It is not adorable. Everybody has different pieces of their life that, like, people with DID can tell you good things that occurred. Maybe not the specific part that you're talking to or that you know, but there's somebody within that system that has a good memory. That's just, mm-hmm. it's just true. Now, it may be completely backward and not seem good to you, but for them, it was a good memory. It was something that comforted them, whatever the case may be. But some of those doctors that say it, well, it just doesn't seem plausible to me. Then you don't understand the brain. When people say that, I bring in the actual science of things and I explain, I'm like, then you just don't understand the way the brain functions in correlation to the survival response, DID. People develop that when it is quite literally life and death. Because one mm-hmm. of the things that I've found in talking with some of these clinicians and different people that we've spoken to now is that they're seeing me. Like I said, I'm you know, a 30-year-old woman. They're not recognizing, like, I'm sharing these experiences, but they're not recognizing the fact that when this occurred, I was 3. I was 2. How do you protect yourself from an adult or more than one adult at 2 years old? The answer is there's really not much physically you can do. You are no match for an adult. But in the brain and different people, different systems and things like that, like protectors, the type of part that will a lot of the time try to defend against trauma, they become older than the person because the brain just deduces things in that, okay, so if I was bigger, I could save myself. If I was bigger, I could protect this other person. Because that's a lot of people's trauma with DAD as well, is that they have parts that are specifically there to protect other people. I'm not alone in that. So it's really this myth of like, well, no, it's because a lot of that stems from the belief that, no, that's doctor-induced. I mean, yeah, that can happen, but that's far more rare.
Yeah,
and then, of course, the old, I'm demon-possessed, that's always a fun one, because we still get those messages from time to time.
You just need
prayer. I don't need prayer.
Right, yeah. go to church and you'll be all better. Don't we all get that at some point or another?
That drives me. Don't even get me started on that whole topic of conversation.
Before we move on, we better take our first break.
Oh, okay.
So we'll catch you on the other side of Beautiful by David Hernandez.
Father in the sky, and they're starting to align. I see you passing by, and we're slowing down the tide. Now my love is flashing by, all I see is flashing lights. Cause you're right here by my side, can you feel it come alive? If this were a love song, would you be mine? Cause I just can't get you off of my mind. And I think about you all day and night. So I wrote you a love song, wrote you a love song. Baby, you're beautiful. I think you're beautiful. So damn incredible, so unforgettable. Yeah, I think you're beautiful. Baby, you're beautiful. I think you're beautiful. So damn incredible, so unforgettable. Yeah, I think you're beautiful. From the
Hey, welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. I'm Joe. She's Rebecca. And on the phone is Erica Reve. How you doing?
Good. I always like that song.
That's a good song.
I've heard it. You know, I always like that song. I like
your
voice.
The thing is with the stuff that gets played on our show, you know, Scott really is a wizard. He really is, because, you know, he's got all these artists that he works with, and it never fails. It doesn't matter what topic we'll be talking about, he'll find a song that he can play that just fits in perfectly. And that's one of the special things that I love about working with him and having a relationship with him that we do. And, you know, he's just, you can't bottle that. You know what I mean? That's right. And you can't teach that. So, you know, we just, we're grateful that we got the guy. You know, he's without him, there's no us. So,
yeah,
he does great work for you guys.
Yeah. So,
yes. And we, forgot to mention at the top of the show that we have also been nominated for Best in Show Podcast on the We Go Health Awards.
That's right.
So,
if
you get onto the We Go Health website, you'll, if you search out nominees.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of the dang word.
Nominees, yeah.
You'll find me, Rebecca Lombardo, and you can endorse us right now. So
yep.
We're pretty excited about that.
Go.
Thank you.
After run the show. Now.
Run. Yes. I get a golden ticket. But yeah, we don't know when voting is going to open up yet, but as soon as we know, we'll let everybody know. And we would appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes. So move back to our format here.
Yes, our conversation. So and it's funny because we were talking about some good stuff before the break, and I was going to chime in with something. And this is a sign of me getting old, is I don't remember what I was going to say.
That's all right.
Yeah. Getting old sucks. Here's a little lesson for all the kids out there that are listening. Hold on to your youth, because once you break 30, things start going downhill, and once you hit 40, it gets even worse. So enjoy your youth.
Yeah, really.
And that's it. I'm off my soapbox. So, Erica, how do you cope with DID? Do you have coping skills that you turn to or ways to manage it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, like we've talked about this before, but the therapy is one of the biggest things you can do for yourself, and that's why we started doing the Living with DID talks, is because I find it a little ridiculous that someone like me, someone who has DID, because it doesn't mean that you necessarily know you have the disorder just because you have it. I used to call it blackouts, like, and they would last for years, some of them. So it was such a bizarre way to live life. But therapy is one of the best things you can do for yourself, because you're talking, that's some in-depth trauma recovery. It's hard, but it is worth it, because it's already impacted my life, because it's impacted my parts. And then, you know, as you guys had said earlier, we do all sorts of different arts. Like, I crochet. I have another part that crochets, and she knits. And then several
which is awesome.
Painters, we sketch, color, we draw, write, of course, but all sorts of different things.
That's the one thing that I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're good.
I was just going to say, that's one thing that I've really noticed with, you know, a lot of the guests that we've had on the show, you know, is the artistic inclinations. You know, I think that shouldn't be lost on, you know, our average observer, you know, our casual listener, is that the artistic contributions that come from the mental health community in general are, you know, I think there'd be a lot of great works that we wouldn't have if not for, you know, the suffering that everybody goes through.
No, you're right. Yeah, that's I would agree. That's very true. On our mm-hmm. blog, we have that Living with DID series where we interview different people who live with dissociative identity disorder. And I always ask them if does anybody in your system have any artwork they want to share? And mm-hmm. some of that stuff you should see. Like, they'll show it to me, but they're like, well, maybe don't share that one because it's kind of too dark. I'm like, okay, that's up to you, you know. But
yeah,
I personally, it's astounding some of the work that people do. And I'm talking like across the board, all different types of artwork. And it's really cool because from an outward perspective to other people, meaning when you look at that, because I've had people tell me all the time, like, man, is there any type of medium that you can't use, like paint, acrylic, whatever, you know, the colored pencil, sketching, ink, watercolor, all those different things. And I'm like, well, I suck at watercolor. And they're like, what do you mean you suck at watercolor? Because they're looking at the painting, the watercolor painting on my wall. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
That wasn't mine. That's not mine. I'm terrible at it.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, it really is. And your artwork just blows my mind every time, you know, you post something, or I walk by the painting in our living room, you know, I love it, you know. That's just really good stuff.
Glad.
Yeah. Yeah. We're glad it's appreciated.
Oh, it's very much so appreciated.
Yeah, definitely. And I love the stuff that you knit, and you just knit, right? You don't crochet?
No, she crochets too.
No, I
one
crochet.
Of the parts, right?
One of my parts knits. I can't knit. I am awful at it. I can't figure it out. I don't know why. I just, it's like I can do a line. That's it. Like back and forth.
Yeah.
Like a little line. That's it. Yeah, but what I do is the crochet. Are you talking about like all the crochet toys and that kind of thing that I make?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the different, the turtles, the penguins and elephants and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
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 That's fun.
Yeah, I love all that stuff. Yeah. It hits close to home for me because my mom does that stuff. You know?
Oh, very
and
cool.
She doesn't make critters. But
no,
she
doesn't make critters.
She does lots of nice blankets.
Yeah, blankets and throws
yeah.
and,
yeah.
you know, baby stuff. And, you know, so I grew up around it. And my dad used to always
very
give
cool.
her a hard time about it. But, yeah. But she to
oh,
this
yeah.
day,
Sean,
she still does
Sean
it. You know?
Sean gives me a hard time about that.
So, yeah. So, yeah, all the time you got to do that. You know, uh-huh. My dad would call it her bundina. I have no idea what that means.
Ask Google after the show.
Yeah, we'll have to Google it. Cause,
something Italian.
Yeah, because that's what you would need. You with the bundina again. All the time. It's funny.
So we know that you've touched on this a little bit here and there, but would you like to talk a little bit more about your Living with DID course?
Sure. So that I can go a little bit before that. We were doing the Living with DID talks where we went to different schools and different hospitals and stuff, and we're discussing what it's like living with DID with clinicians and what one of my parts not so affectionately called quote unquote baby doctors, and that they were on their way to get their degrees and begin working with patients and that, but they weren't quite there yet. So that would last a couple of hours. We do it like 2 to 3 hours with them. And there was every single time we did it, there was always, I wish we had more time. Can I email you and ask you questions? Can you discuss more about this next time? Can you discuss, you know, and it was always something like that. So mm-hmm. I had began trying to figure out how I could get them more information because I know the limits of myself and my system, and we can't sit there for like a 12-hour day with a group of doctors.
Yeah.
One reason being is because doctors are very triggering at times for some of us. But, you know, years into therapy, we have that figured out. We just can't do it for like 12 hours straight. So I began writing and getting these different thoughts in my mind down on paper to try and figure out how best to do this. So then the Living with DID 7-week course was developed. And then our doctor did because, you know, she's the clinician that we bounce ideas off of, you know, she's the one with the doctorate, you know? So we were talking to her, trying to figure out, like, okay, so with some of the feedback that we've gotten from here, what do you think we should do here? And, you know, different things like that. And then we figured out the structure of it. So it's 7 weeks. We're starting with it in Chicago. We've already done the first 7 weeks. We wanted to start with a smaller group, and most of them had experience, which was nice because most of them had the experience of taking a living DID talk. So they were able to compare for us, and we gave them all feedback forms week to week, and we're like, okay, so I want you to leave this anonymous so you're not going to offend us. You're not going to upset me. Tell me what you actually think, because I want to make this work for people, because I know a few dozen systems, people living with DID right now in Chicago, and most of these doctors were working in Chicago or in the Midwest nearby. And I'm like, so I need you to be honest, because all these different people that I know that live with the disorder that are at most 20 miles from you, none of them have a doctor and are getting help. Want to be able to give them a referral. That's like my main goal with doing this course and the talks, of course, but the course is more in depth. So like week one, we discuss more about my story. We kind of lay out the curriculum in a sense. We summarize things and explain to them what they can experience throughout the next 6 weeks, and kind of give them like a baseline of where I'm coming from, why I do this, the fact that, yes, the things that we discuss will be difficult. It is going to be discussed, some of your own traumas or problems that you need to work through. I suggest that you take care of yourself, because we are going to give you all of the information that I can to best help you help somebody else who has CPTSD, which is the complex post-traumatic stress, and DID or dissociative disorders in general, because then you can kind of differentiate the two and figure it out. Because one thing that all of them, like there's got to be probably around 100 people that we've spoken to now with the course and the living DID talks. There's about 100 people who've participated. And
that's awesome.
Thank you. We're very pleased with that. And we're still trying to continue to grow it, of course, and get people signed up for the next one, which we're going to aim. It'll be in Chicago again, and we're going to aim for September, mid-September, to begin the seven-week process again. But I want them to understand that I know what their college education discusses, and at best, they get a day on trauma disorders and a couple paragraphs, maybe an hour of conversation, maybe, of DID. And that is not a rare disorder. That is a very big problem and a misconception. I'm not saying that everybody who experiences trauma, they certainly do not have DID. But if you have extensive early childhood trauma, it's almost impossible not to have a dissociative disorder. Because if childhood trauma is such a severe epidemic, then the corresponding disorders that it just stands to reason that they would also follow the person into adolescence and adulthood, especially if they don't know what's happening and they just explain to their doctor, I'm not sure what's going on. I have like blackouts. I don't know what's wrong. You should be able to go to a doctor and get help for these severe problems that are not as rare as people discuss. And then we do more, absolutely. Like that's kind of nonsensical that you can't walk into a doctor and say, hey, this is what's going on. I think I need help.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And that's one of the dangers. And one thing that people with DID who know we do this have reached out to us and said, like, because they're terrified. They're absolutely terrified of doing what we do. And I just don't think that way. A lot of my parts, they certainly fear and that. But given the structure of my system, it doesn't hinder our ability to discuss some of our experiences with doctors and some of the different traumas that we've encountered. Because we look at it like this is our choice now. This isn't before. This isn't even 10 years ago. This is our choice now. This is what we want to do with life. Because when we started talking more about it on Twitter, holy crap, people came out of the woodwork and they're like different parts within other people's systems and stuff. And we still get those types of messages like of encouragement from them. And then some, of course, who are angry with us because it's that fear, because I'm damaging their ability to hide. So some systems and parts within systems really don't like what we do, but the majority are appreciative because they want to get help. They just are too terrified to try again because they tried 20 times. I mean, it's ridiculous. Almost every person with DID I've spoken to has years and years of trying to find help and dozens of doctor visits that just never benefited them.
I think it's awesome.
Prevent that.
Yeah, I think that it's awesome that your initial focus with doing this course was to get help for all these people that you know. You know, there's mm-hmm. nothing more altruistic than that. You know, is you want to help these friends, these people that are, you know, have gone through the same thing you've gone through, and they're not getting the relief that they need, you know? I think it really sheds a light on, you know, different afflictions that kind of, I don't want to say fall through the cracks, because I mean, they get covered, but they don't get covered the way they should. And I think what you're doing with the course is shedding the proper light on it
mm-hmm.
so that the professionals learn what they need, you know? That's huge.
Yeah, I have. I was really, really thrilled with the feedback. And, you know, and positive and negative. That's what I told them I wanted. They were saying, they're like, okay, so like week two. And then it's like week two, three, and four. Because, well, you've read some of my writing on the blog. I kind of tie things together. So we talk about protectors. And then we talk about little different types of parts that experienced more of the heavier trauma. And they're still stuck in this trauma time. And then there's a whole week where we discuss triggers. And that's a difficult week, but that's the point of it. And that's what I tell mm-hmm. them. I'm like, listen, you need to understand that, you know, because I have them all read through different things, handouts that I give them. And I tell them, I'm like, okay, you need to consent to be here. And that is not only like a trauma thing, but that can be a really big DID thing for people. I need your consent to talk to you about these things because it's going to be difficult for you. I understand that you're a clinician. I understand that all of you know you're not my doctor. But from what we've seen from doing this, you're going to want to be. you're going to have that, well, I want to help you. You can't. You're not my doctor. That's not your job. But what you can do is you can help these other people. You can take this information, this week on triggers, because it's like a 3-hour discussion, because that's how we format these, is discussion based. So they do talk to some of my parts and they do hear some of our own experiences, as well as we have two amazing agreed to participate in the course with us. So they Skype in and these doctors get to not only my perspective of things and my parts, and then have us relay stories that other systems have allowed us to share, but they get to actually speak to, they're both on Twitter. It's Shirley Davis. She's an author. She is an amazing woman. She works with NAMI in her area, and then she does a lot of different advocacy work. She's an author. And she is out the other end of therapy now. So she is a great example of the benefits that therapy can have on somebody's life. And, of course, some of the shortcomings of the field, because she was diagnosed with multiple personality disorder before it was officially changed in the DSM to DID. Because that was a big problem for a lot of people in just recent years. And then Arian inspires he and his parts. They've agreed to participate. So they both Skype in. And that was one of the initial like really big thrills for people who took the first course. They all had amazing feedback about that week too, because they were like, it was so great. Like, because they appreciated the way I broke it down. I think that was one of the other pieces of feedback that they gave, is that, so I give them like kind of some of the groundwork of things, discuss a little bit of the clinical aspect of it as well as our doctor who assists with this. And then they speak to, as the course goes over the 7 weeks, they speak to more of my parts. They get to meet more of my parts. And then they get to see the massive differences between my system, Shirley's, and Arian's system. Because Arian is much younger. He's much younger than me. And he got help much earlier. And then Shirley, her story is much longer than mine. But now she's out the other end of therapy. And then our final week with this, we close with a mother who has had a younger child who has had DID, and she spoke to them from the parent perspective. And then it seemed to actually help her. It was surprising, but she seemed surprised by that, because I explained to her, I was like, listen, you intervened. You're the unicorn as far as people with DID are concerned. I was explaining to her, I was like, I got countless emails from people within the DID community talking about how fascinating it was that we found a parent who was willing to discuss what it was like, because you support your child. With DID, right, that is a rare experience for people. But your child is never going to be us, because you intervened and you got her help. So it's just, there's so much information that the 7 weeks worked out as a really, really good format.
It sounds like it. It sounds like it's comprehensive, and, you know, explains things in, you know, terms that everybody can understand. And that's important, you know, getting the message out there. Just, you're getting the message out there right, you know.
And that was one of my biggest concerns, is that I didn't want them to hear that we're special and fabulous, and, you know, this is super fun for, it is not like, this is really difficult for us to do, but I am able to do it with the assistance of others in my system and other people who are willing to participate.
Yeah.
Well, we are getting closer to the end of our show. We have a few more questions for you, but I wanted to get in. You have an event coming up this year. Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. That I am not 100% positive how that actually began. I know that our friend, I know that our friend April on Twitter, she was talking to one of my parts about getting a living DID type discussion for like a mental health event, a dinner, something like that, up in Canada. And then she reached out to Sick Not Weak, and so now they're a part of it. And then it's Natalie, Paramedic Nat on Twitter. I never remember her. Natalie Harris, maybe? I'm sorry. Okay. I'm terrible with
that
names.
That seems right.
Yeah. But so it's going to be the three of us. They have, I think his name is like at on Twitter. It's like at Hey Landsberg, I believe.
Yeah, right.
Through Sick Not Week. He's like the creator. So they're going to be there, and then Paramedic Nat, and then we are, and we're all kind of discussing, the different aspects of our own stories, and it's to raise funds for a, Canadian Mental Health Organization, which we're super excited about because we are officially Living DAD going international.
Which is really exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's going to be like a dinner and speaking engagement, and we're all going to be discussing the different pieces of our stories, and the profits raised are going to you can see it on our Twitter as well as SickNet Weeks and Paramedic Nat. I know she's tweeted and retweeted it, and then April Reinhold as well. So you can easily find that on Twitter. People are tweeting and retweeting it like every day now. And it's coming up October 12th.
Okay.
So we're right. Very excited about that.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and it's an awareness fundraising dinner. So it's going to be fun.
Do you know whereabouts in Canada that it is?
Yeah, I believe it. I know it's being held at a hotel, but Barrie, Ontario.
Oh, okay.
And I can pull up the information, you know, hopefully, if technology works for me. Oh,
yeah,
Lord.
I'm fighting technology right now, too. I'm trying to find the info, too, for it. Here we go.
Yeah, because what I see now is, like, everybody was retweeting about this podcast this morning.
That's what we do.
Yup. Okay, yeah, the Faces of Mental Health is what it's called.
Yes.
And April, if you go to her page, she has like different fundraisers up right now trying to raise the money because, you know, she's organizing this whole thing. She is freaking amazing. She has DID and she's organizing this whole event and getting the information out there and raising funds to have the like to cover the cost of the event, the venue, the speakers and the food and all these different things. And then she's going to have, I know she said that she's going to have like a few booths and stuff like that, like vendors and that type of thing there. So she is really going to town on this thing, like
taking
her
bull by the horns with it.
Yeah, she's working her butt off.
I found this. It's you, Michael Landsberg, and Natalie Harris.
Natalie Harris.
And it's
Ha-ha,
Friday.
I was right.
That's right.
Sorry.
It's Friday.
I'm so excited, I remember.
Friday, October 12th or 19th?
12th.
I
the 12th.
Okay, I can't read.
Yeah.
I'm blind. I'm getting old. Getting old sucks. I think I said that once already today, but I'm reiterating it.
It says, that's weird. It says Friday, October 12th / 19. 6:30 p.m. I don't know what that means, but
I don't either.
Nonetheless, she will be there.
Yes.
And reach out to April. I think, would you know what her Twitter handle is? It's like at AFR
yeah,
or something.
It right it, yeah.
Okay.
It's at AFR365. So if you find
right.
her, she has her Eventbrite site set up to sell tickets, and then she has the she's seeking donations and stuff to be able to get like the venue and everything like that for everyone. I know that she has the venue on hold. But she's
mm-hmm.
raising funds to be able to pay for it, and then of course the extra, like everything that's raised beyond the cost point is 100% being donated.
Oh, that's cool. That's very good.
Yeah, I think I'll be sending some books.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, she asked me if I could send some books her, and going to figure out getting that done. I'm going to have them shipped right from Amazon, I think. But before we wrap it up, why don't you tell people how they can reach you on social media if they need to?
All righty. Ours is simple. It's at the we in me on Twitter. And then our blog is the same thing. It's theweinme.com. And then our email is theweinmeblog@gmail.com. We kept it the same across the board. So if you search
Pretty
the
simple.
We in me, you'll find us. Yep.
That's
yeah.
And if you start typing in the we and it doesn't come up automatically, don't get discouraged.
Right.
The other day I was trying to type it in and it wasn't coming up. I'm going, is this wrong? Do I have it wrong? Did she block me?
No, we didn't block you.
I had to do an actual search for you and get it to come up, but
that's funny. I never have that problem.
Yeah.
We've heard that. Yeah, we've heard that actually from a couple people. So just type the whole thing out. It's not long.
Yeah. No, it's pretty good. It's pretty succinct too, which I like. You know.
Yeah.
It's catchy.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Well,
my parts actually coined it.
Oh,
that's cool.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, we could ask you questions forever, but unfortunately we only have an hour, so we've got to wrap it up. But it's been really great having you on the show.
Yes. Yes. We're so happy that we had you back, and we're happy that we got to shed some more light on living with DID. And
you made it easy for us because
yes.
you answered all the questions. With a nice long answer and made it an easy morning.
Yeah, thanks. And, you know, that's right. And I had wanted to make sure that we shed some light on the event in Canada. And so I'm happy we got to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah,
I think,
thank you.
You know, if you can make it to this event, by all means go. I think it's going to be really informative.
Or if you can donate to help them out.
Yes.
Take a look at April's page or even Erica's page. She can, if you have to seek her out, she can probably send you in the right direction. So.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep, yep.
And
we can get you to the right people.
And it's funny because
like
we're
right
talking October.
Donate.
Yeah. And it's in October, and here we are in July talking about it, and it seems like, oh, it's so long off, and it's really not that far off.
It's going to come quick.
No,
it's going to come quick.
Because we're like 3 or 4 days away from August.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Three or four days away.
I don't know how that happened.
We're 3 or 4 days away from mine and Rebecca's 17th wedding anniversary, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, August 3rd.
Woo!
17 years.
Woohoo! Yep. I think that's wood. I think that's a wood anniversary.
Oh, we next week, really, really quickly, next week we will be doing a replay, just so you're aware. We haven't decided who we're playing again yet, but our fearless leader is going to be traveling, so he is unavailable to do a live show next week. So we'll run a replay, and hopefully you guys will check that out if you haven't already.
Yep.
And we've got to get going.
I vote for Karen.
Oh, good Lord.
that's always going to be my favorite.
Oh, she's back. Oh, she's gone. I think that's going to be with us forever.
Yeah, really.
So. It's infinite.
Okay. So we're going to end the show with Ginger. Minge.
I guess.
I couldn't read. My eyesight's going, babe.
Okay,
this is bad.
Good.
and the song is called I Am What I Am. Erica, stay on the line, and you guys have a great week and enjoy your weekend, and
talk to you soon.
Bye, everybody.
I am what I am. I am my own special creation. So come take a look. Give me the hook or the ovation. It's my world that I want to have a little pride in. My world, and it's not a place I have to hide in. Life's not worth a damn till you can say, hey world, I am what I am. I am what I am. I don't want praise. I don't need pity. I bang my own drum. Some think it's noise. Well, I think it's pretty. And so what if I love each feather and each spangle? Why not try to see life from a different angle? Your life is a sham till you can shout out loud, I am what I am. I am what I am, and what I am needs no excuses. I steal my own deck sometimes. Sometimes the deuces. There's one life, and there's no return and no deposit. One life, so it's time to open up your closet. Life's not worth a damn till you can say, hey world, I am.
Don't miss the Mental Health Memoir of the Year, It's Not Your Journey. It's Not Your Journey is the true story of one woman's 20-year battle with mental illness and her recovery from a suicide attempt in 2013. Rebecca Lombardo candidly reveals her real and raw emotions in dealing with depression, bipolar disorder, the loss of her mother and brother, and more. Pick it up today on Amazon.com or visit www.RebeccaLombardo.com for more information.
Join us next week as Rebecca and Joe continue to battle the stigma of mental illness. Follow us on Twitter at Voices for Change RJ and on Facebook at Voices for Change 2.0.